content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 13th through Sunday, November 19th, 2023. The commentary for November was written by Scott Robinson, who has performed at Renaissance fairs, taught college music, and written for newspapers. He worked as a hospice chaplain for 5 years and has been a professed member of the Third Order of St. Francis, a religious order within the Episcopal Church since 2001. He lives in Philadelphia. The commentary for Monday, November 13th, begins as follows, with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition." Here's the commentary. This debate between Jesus and the legalists has always given me, a former healthcare worker and the son of a microbiologist, the heebie-jeebies. Of course, you should wash your hands before you eat. You may have seen those disgusting pictures of someone's fifth-grade science project in which slices of bread, last handled by washed and unwashed hands, were photographed in stages of ever-increasing nastiness. Washing your hands just makes sense once you learn that most stomach bugs are transmitted by what physicians call the fecal-oral route. You will not need reminding. I think Jesus is calling attention here to human conditions that, as practical as they are, simply do not have the moral force of God's commandments. Eating with unwashed hands may be gross, but neglecting the needy is wicked. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage today from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. "Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat.' He answered them, 'And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, Honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is given to God. Then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, 'Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles.' Then the disciples approached and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' Then he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that Whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 13th, what traditions do you practice that may be at odds with God's commandments? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 14th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 78, verse 30. But they did not stop their craving, though the food was still in their mouths. In my early 20s, a girlfriend used to drive me crazy by continually changing the radio station in the car, looking for something she liked better than whatever was playing. Even when she found a song she liked, she would start traipsing around the dial again before it was even over, looking for the next song. Now I find myself doing the same thing on YouTube. I may be watching a video by someone I follow, but my eyes eventually stray to the queue of upcoming videos that might be better. The next outfit, car, gadget, house, partner, or step up the corporate ladder is always on people's minds. Nothing we actually have is enjoyable now. I used to think it strange that Israel could not stop their craving, though the food was still in their mouths, until I learned that that's what we humans are, achy, desperate bundles of craving. And now I'm going to read from the gospel passage for this Tuesday. It is from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. And the moving forward question for this day, what would it mean for you to be content? The commentary for Wednesday, November 15th, begins with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verses 23b to 24. "Your merchants were the magnates of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in you was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slaughtered on earth." Whistleblowers and other prophetic truth-tellers like Amos and Jeremiah make the established powers uneasy, and the institutional church is no exception. Dorothy Day, a 20th-century social activist, famously exclaimed, "Don't call me a saint. I don't want to be dismissed that easily." Day was not opposed to saints. Her writings and speeches often referred to the principles of justice lauded by saints such as Paul, Francis, and Teresa. But she worried the title of saint would undermine her life's work of preaching and teaching the countercultural, radical message of the gospel. She believed all people have an obligation to fight for justice, not just those conferred sainthood by the wider church. Ironically, Day's case for canonization was sent to Rome in March 2021. If her cause prevails, it is up to us to carry on her work of fighting for justice for all. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Revelation 18, verses 21 to 24. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "With such violence, Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down and will be found no more." And the sound of harpists and minstrels and of flutists and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And an artisan of any trade will be found in you no more. And the sound of the millstone will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the magnates of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in you was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday, November 15th, is research the life and witness of Dorothy Day. Now the commentary for Thursday, November 16th, it begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 11. How could you fail to perceive that I was not speaking about bread? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus must have gotten so bone-weary of his bone-headed disciples after seeing him feed some 12,000 people with what amounts to a couple of boxes of ancient Lunchables, they still assumed he was talking about bread when he warned them about the yeast of the Pharisees. These guys had God with them in the boat, and they still didn't get it. In Christopher Moore's novel, Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal, Mary Magdalene takes Jesus to task for expecting intellectual acumen from his disciples. She tells him that Peter has become a powerful preacher and can heal the sick, and James can make the lame walk. They don't need to understand it, she tells him. They only need to believe. And they do. They imagine the kingdom as they need it to be. We all may encounter passages in Scripture that we don't understand, but with steadfast faith we still believe, and in that belief we can encounter the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Then he left them and went away. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They said to one another, "It is because we have brought no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How could you fail to perceive that I was not speaking about bread? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he had not told them to be aware of the yeast of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, does a lack of understanding undermine your faith? The commentary for Friday, November 17th, begins with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. A whip-smart seminarian friend grew up in a highly male-dominated fundamentalist church environment and came to hate all those Jesus with the sword images like the one in this Revelation passage. But over time, she realized that her perception of Jesus, who runs on flower power, was due to her privilege. The oppressed need justice, she said, a Jesus who is as fierce as he is tender, a Jesus who will redress the injustices done by the powerful, attend to the grievances of the marginalized, and make right what has gone wrong. The bland, laissez-faire Jesus of the modern imagination is for those of us with no injustices to be redressed. Those who are as comfortable as I've been for so much of life and not living under the kind of oppression that would lead me to cry out to God for justice. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now the moving forward question for this Friday is, how do you react to the images of Jesus with a sword? The commentary for Saturday, November 18th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, 90 verses 10. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly, and we are gone. Who wants to spend their brief, precious time in labor or sorrow? For many, one of the pandemic's lessons was that life is short and unpredictable. In the past few years, we've seen marked changes in the labor force as many people quit jobs in toxic workplaces and took their skills elsewhere. They were tired of pouring out their brief lives in workplaces where they were overworked, underpaid, bullied, and exploited. In Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, the ghost Jacob Marley cautions a terrified Scrooge, No space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused. Both Dickens and today's psalm remind us to use our time well and to take every opportunity to do God's will. Let's listen for that message as I read today's psalm. It is Psalm number 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. And the moving forward statement for this Saturday, November 18th, is to join the ministry of Forward Movement. Your donations help provide free books and other resources to thousands of people. You can learn more at forwardmovement.org/donate. And as we near the end of our program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 19th. It is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. This commentary begins with a passage from Psalm 123, verses 4 and 5. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich, and of the derision of the proud. I was buying olive oil in a Mediterranean market and noticed the Greek word for olive was eleia. That's a lot like the word for mercy, which looks just the same, eleia also, I thought. After some research, I discovered that the latter word is derived from the former because prayer for healing in the ancient Mediterranean included anointing with olive oil. So the original and primary meaning of mercy was healing. Mercy, as Portia tells Shylock in Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, blesseth him that gives and him that takes. Without mercy, there cannot be spiritual or emotional healing. When we show mercy, we bestow healing on ourselves as well as on those whom we forgive. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 123 as follows. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. And I'll also read another appointed psalm for this day, Psalm 90, verses 1 through 8. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals, for a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, November 19th, when have you received mercy and healing from others? Give thanks for this gift. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.